Scripture this morning is taken from the letter to the church in Ephesus. Ephesians may have been written by the Apostle Paul, or it may have been written by one of his closest followers within the spirit of Paul. But we do know that the author of this letter to this young church at Ephesus was struggling to help them understand how to create a new community in the Gentile world connected to the people of Israel. Struggling to understand how to be a new witness, a new community of equality and faith and thanksgiving and service to others, connected in to the history of God's work among God's people, Israel. It's a new thing. The divisions had been deep and wide, and this author says the divisions are now gone. It is a new time and a new era. And so in doing that, he writes to these people and effectively says, try to live in this new space, even as you try to make life in the old space of the world. So listen to this from the second chapter. So Christ came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access to one Spirit, in one Spirit, to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also the members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. The word of the Lord. Please pray with me. Holy Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts be receptive to thee. O God, our strength and our Redeemer, we pray. Amen. There's a kind of unique Christian way of thinking about time. It has been so absorbed into Western culture that we don't even fully understand that it actually comes out of Scripture and out of the tradition that we have inherited from the Israelites and all the way through Christian thinking through the ages. It's a way of thinking about time that sort of sees time in two ways. The first way we call chronos. You heard the term before, like chronology. You even used the word from the pulpit before. Chronos. It's time that's one thing after another, as some might say, one damn thing after another. One thing after another. First, second, third, fourth, fifth. Cause and effect of movement through time. Like the way most of us live our lives. We think about youth, middle age, we think about growing older, we write ourselves into the future on the basis of what we've experienced in the past, and we see time in a kind of order. We try to make sense of things that way. We make sense of time in chronos by telling stories, or by thinking about ideas and principles, by interpreting things, right? We think about what we believe. We think about what we've been taught. We make meaning in chronos. But we also recognize there's another kind of time. The fancy theological word also goes to Greek for that, and that word is kairos. Kairos. Kairos is time that comes in suddenly, as if from somewhere out of time, breaking in. Kairos time has a distinct feeling of a before and an after. Chronos time has before and an after, but we kind of don't notice it because we interpret what comes next in light of what comes before. Kairos time leaves us feeling like there was a before and now something is new. Things have changed. There are events that make a difference to time. Time in Kronos or in Kairos experience seems to either slow down or speed up really rapidly. But everything's in flux and everything's fluid, and suddenly you find yourself in a new reality. Sometimes there are positive experiences in our lives that are like Kairos, aren't there? Think of a new opportunity that wells up in you, or you wake up and feel as if the world has changed. Perhaps it's a birth. Maybe it's the first time you say, I love you. Maybe it's news of a great and grand event. Maybe it's possibility that has come true. We also know that Kairos time can be experienced in the other way too. Kairos time can be experienced as unsettling facts, unsettling events in our lives that make all the world of difference. News of a death, a sudden loss that leaves everything different, unsettles the world. An earthquake, whether spiritually or real. First time I experienced a haboob here, felt a little bit like that. I didn't know what was going on. Until I later realized that, oh, I know what's going on. This is perfectly normal. But we experience things as though there's a cataclysm. There's a break and a fracture in our lives. Losses that we cannot repair. A diagnosis that we've been afraid of. Worry that digs deep. Kairos time has a before and an after. Now, Christian thinking again. We recognize that there is Kronos and there is Kairos along the way in our lives. But Christian thought, Christian imagination has attempted to at least sort of describe or proclaim or say that God has shown us that there's another reality kind of on top and on the bottom of that plane of Kronos and Kairos. And the fancy theological term for it is cruciform, which means in the shape of a cross, that we have seen time like this, not just like this, like this, like this, like this, but have seen it as like this every step of the way. That in effect, we live in a holy way. We live in a redeemed way. We live in a godly way in the midst of Kronos and Kairos. Kronos and Kairos. By recognizing that every single instant of our lives lived in Christ is textured by both. Every instant. Every instant is interpretable. Every instant we can think about and try to fit into life as we know it. And yet every instant has within it the possibility of something brand new. A grace that is more. A possibility that is rich and beyond our comprehension. Than which we live like this every single moment. To prepare for how to respond faithfully to the big moments that seem to change everything. If we can live every moment aware of God's possibility and God's presence in our life, when the big things seem to come, we keep them in perspective, we recognize that God has been there all along, and we move forward with love and grace. So we live like this, by living like this all the time. That's the witness of the church. That's how we've attempted to say it. We live free as Christian people. We've seen that in Scripture historically as we interpret Scripture. We see this relationship all the while, which brings me finally back to the book of Ephesians. For in that book, the author is saying that very thing to the people in Ephesus. Is saying as you try to order your lives and create a church, create a way to be together as God's people within the world as you find it, that you do not control. As you do that, remember one thing, he says. Live as though God is always present. Live in the after, even when life feels like the before. Live in the after Jesus has come. Live in the after of Christ's death and resurrection. Live in the after of all that that means as he says, I declare to you in Christ peace to those who are far away, peace to those who are near. For him, it meant the division between Jews and Gentiles is over in Jesus. For us today, it also can mean that the unsettled way in which we feel like we are always at war with life, the way in which we always feel like there's just a struggle going on to try to reconcile things that seem unreconciled, to struggle to find a way to live faithfully in the world, that in Christ we can declare the war over. We declare peace to those who are far away and those who are near. We declare the peace of Christ that is internal in our hearts and between us and others, even between us and the world. We declare peace so that we can describe it to the world in how we live with each other, in how we live with ourselves, and how we make peace in the world. We describe what already is in Christ. And so he also says, you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are now citizens in the kingdom of God. We no longer are without place, he says. You're no longer wandering around in a world where you're trying to make things up, where you're trying to imagine the future in a way that you can sort of predict it, where you're trying to find your value and worth. He is saying that in the church, in the wake of Christ, after Christ's reconciling death and resurrection, after Christ has made us into a new people, we all have place. We have worth. We have reason. We have home. We are citizens, not strangers or aliens. Citizens of a new realm. Citizens of a space in which there are new rules. We live with each other in a new way. The power struggles that are characteristic of the world around us don't need to be characteristic of how we live together as God's people. We can learn to live by new and different rules. It is a peculiar place, he says, this thing we call the church, because it is a space of new rules of a new king, a new sovereignty, a new way of being together. So every time you walk through the door, it should feel a little new. And it's up to us to try to help make it feel that way. And so the third thing, when he says, no longer do you have to work to find your way. No longer is Kronos one damn thing after another. It is now one great and holy thing after another, living after the work that Christ has done. We are saved by the faith and work of Christ among us to be incorporated into a new reality called the church. So in doing so, we can live in the after, even when life feels like we're still in the before. We've attempted to imagine theology that way, not always succeeded. We've attempted to imagine the church that way. We've not always succeeded, but we keep at it each day. And on so also we try to imagine our worship that way also. So that when we gather in this space, there's a kind of rhythm between the ordinary and the extraordinary, the ordinary and the extraordinary. We try to remind ourselves and each other that there is an extraordinary possibility right in the midst of things we do over and over and over again. So that when we confess our sin in the beginning of the service, and you hear the words that say, in Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven, you should gasp just a little bit. When we pass the peace to each other, stretch out our hands and reach across to someone who is far away or near, proclaiming peace to the one who is far away, who we do not know, or the one who is near, who we love and tenderly and take care of every day. As we pass that peace, perhaps your knees should shake just a little. Perhaps you might need to sit down a little more quickly because you don't know if you might just faint from the realization that you have done something, that you've changed the world when you passed a little peace. There is a before, and there's an after. And when we pass the peace, we remember and live in the after. So too, whenever we baptize a baby or a child or an adult, we're proclaiming the after, even in the midst of the before. And finally, too, when we gather around this table, for that is what we do. Ordinary, ordinary, ordinary things. Bread and juice. In our case, bread made without wheat or dairy. Juice, not fermented, because we recognize that we all want to be gathered around the table, and we live in Kronos. We live with the imperfections of our bodies and the realities of life. And yet, as we pray over this, as we touch it and bless it, as we share it person to person to person down our pews, in the blessing, in the praying, and in the sharing, it is bread and juice. It is the body and blood of Christ. Not just a symbol, really. It is the body and blood of Christ as we share it with each other. We live in the ordinary to remember the extraordinary, to prepare us for life. And that's what this is. So that when the bread is passed to you or the cup is passed to you, I invite you to hold it for just a second and look at it and let your heart skip a beat and make a decision to take it in. And as you make that decision, make a decision to live in the after, to breathe out, let yourself go, thank God for what God has already done, so that the before, the ordinary parts of life, can feel new. Amen.